Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I'm your host of the Dork Forest. Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. FamilyPetAncestry.com was purchased by me because it made me laugh. I laughed, you guys. And it just points to JackieCation.com. Everything is available on JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com. The Dork Forest is a podcast, and it is available on iTunes, AllThingsComedy.com, and probably repurposed by any number of other vehicles to put on a device of your choosing. Let's do the credits. The credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Mike Rickberg composed and sang the song you just heard, sang with his wife Sarah. Mike will sing again his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. Vilmos fixes the website, JackieCation.com. Jackie, there, if you like the show, there are many ways to support the show, not the least of which, and not unappreciated, word of mouth. Let the people know. You can tag me on Twitter at JackieCation. And or Facebook. There's a Ranger page on Facebook if you want to join and talk to other Rangers of the Dork Forest. And you could talk up the show. That'd be a great way to support the show. Very basic way to support the show is there's a PayPal donation button. Knock yourselves out. You may donate hard cash. I have one person who donates via Venmo because she doesn't like PayPal. But I appreciate whatever's happening. You can use the Amazon banner. The Amazon banner is also just it's available on dorkforest.com or jackiecation.com. It's a little link to Amazon, essentially. It's a portal to Amazon. You order like normal. It doesn't cost you extra. The Dork Forest gets a bit of a kickback. That is a way to support the show that doesn't cost you anything if you order from Amazon. Another way to do it would be to get merch. If you want a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt or just the logo Dork Forest t-shirt, my stand-up shirt, the Spooky Reading Girl shirt, those are all available on the store page on JackieCation.com, along with my albums and DVD. You can get all of my albums and DVD as downloadable. iTunes, Amazon, the special, the Horcrux special, this will make an excellent Horcrux special, is available on ComedyFilmNerds.com on their downloadable page. And you can, or you can get a hard copy of the DVD from JackieCation.com. I have a new album, speaking of which, just came out March 3rd, 2017, I did good, you guys. I was on the top of the list on Amazon and iTunes, and I never have been, so I'm going to toot my own horn. It is called I Am Not the Hero of This Story. It is available for download from Amazon, from iTunes, and it will be available from as a hard copy by the end of the month. I'm getting them printed up, and you'll be able to order them in the store from JackieCation.com. If you are in another country besides the United States, well, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, and iTunes or Amazon isn't working for you, email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and I have a way that you can just buy a $10 download card. And I just send you a picture of it, you download it, and then you PayPal me $10, and our lives are complete. These episodes are all from the Joko cruise. I went on a cruise with 1,780 nerds. It was a Dork Forest bonanza, and I recorded 6 episodes, so I'm using the intro for this, for all of them. The Joko Cruise is based on a guy named Jonathan Colton, who is a musician and very talented and wonderful, and if you get a chance, it's called the Joko Nerd Cruise, and it was great, and I recorded a live episode, which didn't cost me anything, so I'm just releasing it normal, and then 5 other episodes. None of these are premium episodes because they didn't cost me anything to make, so I'm just putting them out. There are premium episodes at Bandcamp. The dorkforest.bandcamp.com has probably a dozen premium episodes, which were recorded live in front of an audience. Cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge a couple of bucks to buy them. They are $2 each on the dorkforest.bandcamp.com. There is also a storytelling album there that I put, which is $4, and then 17 episodes of The Dork Forest before it was pre-recorded that I picked out, that I did as a 10-year anniversary album. That is free if you wish to listen to 17 old episodes of The Dork Forest, my favorite 17, I think, from those first 215 episodes. Anyway, the only other thing at JackieCation.com that you might like to see is my calendar. When I'm doing stand-up, where I'm doing stand-up, it is at JackieCation.com. It is updated all the time. You can also follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all the things. Anyway, longest intro ever. Let's get into it because it's awesome. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am on the JoCo Cruise. JoCo stands for Jonathan Colton, and I'm recording different episodes with people who go on this cruise in addition to the people that are hired to entertain on this cruise. And I met Tyler Hinman, which is at That Puzzle Guy on Twitter. And hi, Tyler.
Hello.
I'm Jackie Cation. We met briefly over at the bar.
We did.
So we've talked. So is this your first JoCo Cruise, I should ask?
It is, yes.
Oh, good.
New monkey. Excellent.
New monkey. Yes, JoCo Cruise people refer to themselves as sea monkeys. And so new monkey, that's what that means. So Tyler, we're just, I don't even remember how we met, but you said escape rooms.
Yeah,
I do a podcast called The Dork Forest.
You kind of put out a blast on the Facebook group for
That's
the cruise, and I emailed you. I thought too late in the game, clearly not. But
clearly not, because two other people emailed me first, and I've yet to talk to them.
All right,
so,
good for me.
Perfectly nice people that will hopefully will. We've got four more days on this
All right.
ship.
Yeah,
I feel like we've been on this ship for 4 days, but it's only been two nights. I
agree.
I think.
Yeah, I keep having to remind myself we're not even halfway done. It's
not
amazing.
Even, yeah, it's amazing. So you went ziplining today in Cabo San Lucas.
I did that indeed, yes.
And was it swell? Did you
It was swell. A lot of physical exertion. Not only like, you know, hiking up to get to the lines and stuff, but I also, there was a little rock climbing.
Wow.
Rappelling in there.
And was it scary?
No, not really. The one...
Because you're all harnessed in and...
Yeah, you're all harnessed in. It's, you know, redundant safety systems. Yeah, you kind of like, there's like a platform and you sit down fully and put your legs up and then just kind of send you down. The one All harrowing right. moment was I got turned around in the last one, which is really, really long. It's like the highlight. It's
okay.
like 500 meters or something.
Uh-huh.
And I got turned around, so I did what I thought they said to do, which is kind of hold on to the thing with both hands and then like lean back. And I was doing that and like the course is not correcting itself.
Oh.
And I came in really hot. And when I stopped, I kind of went up a little bit
yeah.
and the rope kind of hit my shoulder a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
And I guess it looked a lot worse than it felt.
Okay.
So I was like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, it was just like a little thump.
Oh, did I
fine.
Do something that endangered myself?
Yeah,
is
I was
what they were thinking.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like, they're like, no, you're not supposed to do that.
Just me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the klutz. And I was like, or is my arm half off and I just don't feel it because of the adrenaline or
right,
something.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Did you also get cut? So.
No, just, the shirt saved me.
I just noticed because tonight was fancy dress night.
And it was fancy
I
dress
I put
night.
On a fancy dress and shoes, and it lasted an hour and a half, and then I took those off and put on these sweatpants.
I'm jealous.
And it's lovely. But I like that tie. I just noticed
you
have a crossword puzzle tie.
I do indeed.
And it is a nice one.
Thank you.
And in addition to being yellow, which is bright against all of your dark blue and black, the rest of your suit.
Mm-hmm. Black, white and black, and then the green for some reason. Just...
It's nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, so where are you from?
I live in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. So,
yep.
Oh, wow. So you're a California guy.
Yep.
Okay. So, you like escape rooms.
Very
which
much.
Which other people also like, and I have been to one of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm more of a team player. If I could somehow be in charge of catering, that'd be great. But, how long have they been even around?
It's,
and explain what they are for people who don't know.
Okay, well, an escape room is typically you go in with your friends, or if you're not, you know, big enough team, you'll meet up with strangers, which I've done a handful of times. And you go into a room, and you're all one team, you're all working together, you'll all win or you'll all lose. And there's some sort of situation that you're presented with.
Although, there's a story.
Yeah, there's a bit of a story. Like you're in like a spooky mansion or a mine shaft or.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
the one
or magic
that I
shows.
Did was a spaceship. We had been kidnapped and shoved onto a spaceship, and we had to figure out a way to get off the spaceship before we got sent into space.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, they have some sort of artificial construct like, oh, the guards will be back in exactly 1 hour. It's always an hour, which is really a remarkable coincidence.
It's right. So essentially, you are in a locked room.
Yes.
And you have to get your way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a story. And I love the idea that there's a mine shaft or a haunted mansion one.
That's pulling
great.
A few out of my head. Yeah,
that's amazing. So how long have they only been around? Like, as a, I mean, they kind of blew up, right?
Yeah, in the U.S., it's been the last, I don't know, last
four
few years.
Years.
Yeah, around there. Yeah. It's, and it, now they're in pretty much any city you go to, you'll find at least one.
Okay. And so have you gone to mostly in, what was the first one you went to?
Oh, the first one I went to was a little bit different. There's a Japanese company called Scrap. They have something called the Real Escape Game, and they came to San Francisco several years ago after a lot of successful games in Japan.
Okay.
And the first style of game I played with them was where there are a bunch of teams all in like a big ballroom. You have your team of usually about six.
Okay.
And everyone's at their own little table. Everyone has their own copy of all the puzzles. And there are some clues and interactive elements scattered around the room that are kind of common for everyone to share.
Okay.
But for the most part, everyone's hunkered down
at
their table working on their own puzzles. And then you just kind of get to the end, and if you get to the end,
sort of scavenger hunty kind of.
Yeah, kind of. There's no lock to. Oh, I got this key. I put in the lock. Oh, the main door is open. We escaped. We won. It's not like that. You're just kind of okay. We got this, and that's all the puzzles, and we're done.
Right.
And they typically have what my friends and I call the screw job, which is there's tends to be a point in these games.
Yeah.
Where you think you're done.
Yeah.
But there's actually this little tidbit from the beginning that you didn't address, and like, oh no, this is actually a losing scenario because X. So you might think you're done, but you have to do something else to forestall this hideous conclusion.
We got through the door at like 59, found another room.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah, you think second room.
Yep.
You're like, wait, because it was also our first one.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know that there might be a screw job going on where we were going to get tricked.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But that's... But if you go in knowing that there might be several rooms,
right,
then maybe your sense of urgency gets ramped up or something.
Yeah, the sense that you're done is much more nebulous when you're doing these ballroom style games.
Right.
Because you're just kind of writing on paper and you get what you think is a conclusive answer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really, unless you look, there's nothing to indicate that you have more to do. But
you're
like, oh no, but at the beginning they said if this was the case, then disaster, everybody dies, things get blown up, whatever. We have to do something else, and then you like kind of keep digging and find something else. So a lot of teams kind of rest on their laurels and think they've won, but they haven't. So
they have not.
They kind of put down the win rate
that
way.
What was the first one that you went into a room?
Early one. I think it was called, and get ready for a really creative name here, it was called Escape from the Mysterious Room. So
I'm okay with that.
Really
was
distinctive
Rorschach
there.
Involved?
And that was another scrap game in San Francisco. That was their first, really room escape game.
Okay.
And that was we lost that one. I mean, I don't know what your stance on spoilers is here, but yeah.
If it's in San Francisco and we've called it the name, maybe we shouldn't give away the secrets of it.
Sure.
But I'll say this is that. How many people are usually on a basic team when you go in?
It really varies from room to room.
What's too many?
Too many?
Too little?
I mean, it depends on your personal taste. Like the limit they tell you, it's a lot of rooms will have like 10 or 12 will be the max.
Okay.
But really, a lot of times, that's too many. They're just trying to sell more tickets.
Right.
And get people in. Really,
five.
Yeah. Oh, rule of thumb, like between a half and two thirds of the stated capacity.
Okay.
If you got people who are on their game, you can win with that.
Okay. And but you can't. Have you ever tried one alone?
I have done one alone. In New York. I was in New York for.
And you're like
a crossword tournament, and
there's nowhere to go. I guess I'm doing this.
Well, plus, it was Friday afternoons.
Yeah.
Thursday afternoon, so everyone,
go see a
all
movie.
My friends are working. So
right.
I'll just go and play an escape room and maybe meet some strangers, which I did in a few cases.
Yeah.
But this one, and it was their easiest room.
Okay.
Thankfully, so it wasn't a.
Oh right.
Someone of my experience, was
you
tackleable.
And did you win?
Yes.
Okay.
About 40 minutes. Like I said, it was their easiest room. So
right.
Stuff that I was relatively used to.
Okay, and now here's the other question: How competitive are you? Do you care if you don't win?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
my friends will laugh at this part. It's like, yeah, he cares.
He cares. Like the power of the sun, he cares. Yeah. How have we lost?
I think the other day we had trouble with a room, and like my friend was like, the important thing is we have fun. And just like, well, no, the most important thing is to win. And I'm just like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Sociopath. Do you mean just have fun.
Just have fun. There's a door there to get out, and we didn't get out.
And
so
we didn't get out. And now some lady has had to come in and let us out.
And now I'm angry. And here's all the things you missed. Ha ha ha.
Right, because at the end of it, if you do miss, they show you what you should have done.
Yes,
right?
Thankfully, you don't have to live with the mystery. And just the shame.
And some, just the, right. So that you go in, and is there, they give you the story.
Yes.
So pick one. Wait, actually, before we get into the specifics of the game,
all right.
I have other so you've done them in San Francisco and in New York.
Yep.
Have you ever gone destination? I'm flying to Chattanooga to play this game.
Rarely. Usually, good. I'll just happen to be going somewhere for some other reason, like the National Puzzlers League convention that I do every year in July. You know, that's always in some major city where they'll have a lot of escape rooms.
Tyler, I did not know that you were in the National Puzzlers Association.
Oh, I am, yes.
Yes, and so is that, what kind of puzzles are they?
Mostly word puzzles. It's a word puzzle crowd as opposed to a logic puzzle crowd, typically.
Fair enough,
yeah.
Fair enough. Word puzzles. You guys, Tyler Hinman does word puzzles. He's in the association. It's at that puzzle guy, by the way, on
that's
Twitter.
That's me.
So, all right. So you'll go to are they tournaments? Are they like Magic the Gathering?
The convention?
Yeah.
Well, I do a couple of things every year involving puzzles. Over every MLK weekend is the MIT Mystery Hunt.
Okay.
The big, huge puzzle hunt at MIT over their independent activity period, I think it's called.
Okay.
And that's just 48
straight
hours.
And you go to wherever
of,
MIT is? Where is MIT?
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Thank you very much.
So I go there every year. The American Crossword Puzzle Tournament slips around a little bit, but late February, early to late March, somewhere in there.
What town is that?
That's in Stamford, Connecticut. So I'll fly into New York for that and hang out there, and then just quick trip up to Stamford. And then the National Puzzlers League convention. Those are kind of the three big ones.
And where is that?
That actually varies every year.
Moves.
Yeah, this year we're going to Boston, and next year we'll be Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. So, well, that's kind of great. Because then you go to a new town.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never been to Wisconsin, so next year I'll get to check that off.
I am from Milwaukee. There is a place, there's a bar that you should go to. It's called the Safe House.
I have heard of that. Yeah, we're all abuzz over that. We will be making a trip for sure.
It's total gaming. Andy, my husband, was very excited about it. We went with my sister-in-law who lives in Milwaukee and has never been to the Safe House. I had only been to the Safe House because they had an open mic when I lived there in 1990, 1989. And so I would go there. There was a guy who did up-close magic. There was an open mic where I could do stand-up, and it was a bar. So
beautiful.
Those three things made my life. And they used to have this thing, and they still have it. It's a chair that comes out of the floor.
Oh, man.
And they used to pour shots into your face.
I like that.
Yeah. They told me that because I was there, just there, and I said, whatever happened to that chair? And the lady goes, chair's still there.
Nice.
Health department says we can't pour shots into people's faces anymore.
Killjoys.
I know it. I said, what are you doing? She said, we give you a pitcher of booze, and you pour it into your own face. And I was like, a pitcher? And she goes, yeah, that's... She said, yeah, we had to go on the other side. She's like, now you're not just getting, like, a double shot. You're getting an entire pitcher. And I was like, that's alcoholism. Yeah. Okay, so...
I think they just opened one in Chicago, actually, and I'm heading there in early April for the Frozen Four.
Oh.
Final Four of college hockey.
Oh, fair enough.
So might check that out, get a little sneak preview.
Yeah, because they opened a Safe House in Chicago?
That's what I hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a safe, you have to say a safe word to get into it.
Yeah.
There's a phrase. I can tell you, I'll tell you if you want.
But, all right. Off air? Hurry.
Well, it's not a huge mystery.
Oh, okay, that's fine then.
So I'll just, it's essentially, all you have to say is, I'm looking for a safe house. And because there's a woman working the door who looks like an old-timey secretary lady. It's like she's got her hair all curled and stuff. And you're supposed to whisper it to her. And my nephews were like, what is it? And I said, you're looking for a safe house. And one of my nephews just leaned over and went, I'm looking for a safe house. And she rang a giant klaxon and said, your subtlety gets you a demerit. or something like that. It was pretty great. But if you don't know the phrase, the safe word, they make you do like the chicken dance or something.
Oh.
And then they air it all over the bar. So
amazing.
Note to self.
Thank you
for
very
your
much.
Friends. There you go. Now you will not have to deal. But so you have been to Boston and Connecticut, and
yep.
New York and San Francisco for sure.
Yep.
Doing different. And so when you go for a puzzle thing, you try to do something local and you find an escape room.
Yeah, that's typically an activity that I try to do with my spare time, just because I'm pretty sure I'm going to find one. There's at least a few sites with, you know, big lists online. Look at TripAdvisor or something, try to find the best reviewed ones.
Okay, so are there bulletin board kind of places where you go to, or you just go to TripAdvisor or Yelp?
Yeah, pretty much that. I think there are a few sites that review escape games, but that's just like kind of one person.
Right.
So I prefer to get kind of an aggregate on one of those sites. Although that's tricky too, because people are like, oh, we hated this game because we didn't solve it. It's like, well, sounds like a you problem.
Right. I ordered the wrong thing at this restaurant, and thus, it turns out I don't like beets. Wait, you don't get to shit on the restaurant then.
Exactly.
Interesting. So how about the quality of different games? They vary, I would imagine.
Oh, do they?
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there any standards? Does it look like it's getting standardized?
Yeah, I mean, I think the standards are getting hammered out, although with a market that is quite frankly as saturated as this escape room market is, just every city is just chock full of them. People see like, oh, we'll just set up some puzzles in this room, charge $30 a person, and we'll be making money hand over fist. That a lot of people have that dream. And maybe not necessarily the puzzle acumen to go along with it.
Right. Well, maybe it's more of a, they can do it. Maybe it's like the Music Man where they're going to leave town. Let's see if we can make a lot of money for just 2 weekends and then get the hell out of Dodge. So you go in and there's no standardization. So how lame can it be?
It can be. Really lame is the short answer.
Right.
What's
a bad one?
An example.
I have no problem spoilering bad ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
A typical example of something that's like a cheap and easy thing to do. My friend Trip Payne, also a National Puzzlers League person who's, you know, puzzle enthusiast, escape room enthusiast. He terms it a crap mountain.
Okay.
Escape rooms don't involve just puzzle solving. Typically, you have to find stuff in the room. You have to open drawers, rifle through pockets and dressers and what have you. Some rooms will take this to an alarming degree. Like, here's a giant pile of laundry. 2 shirts have a pocket with something in them. And here, spend 5 minutes rifling through clothes trying to find the things you need. Oh, and we're not telling you that there's 2 things. If you find 1 thing and think you're done, you're probably going to lose. So it's that kind of just boring stuff.
It's super boring. Guess what Jackie Cation would do? Fold the laundry.
You know, in some rooms, that might actually be a goal. You never know. It's like, you didn't fold the laundry, so they knew you were here, and you're busted, and you lose.
Right. You didn't bring the depression wife with you? I'm so sorry. That's the lamest. Okay, that is very lame.
That is lame. Another thing is, a very easy thing to do in escape rooms, you'll find them in most escape rooms, including very good ones, are just locks. And there's a lot of different locks you can use. There's like the 3 digits, 4 digits, a 4-letter word, a 5-letter word, the standard school lock or combination lock, an actual physical key, the directional lock where you just push up, down, left or right with this dial, which I have never seen outside of an escape room. So
yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But I did see it in that one, and I was like, well, I don't even know what that is. Is that a lock?
Yeah,
and, right.
They typically involve a tutorial on how to use it before the game because nobody has ever seen one before, and I've only seen them because I play escape games.
Right.
And locks are a very, very common thing. I've seen them in a lot of rooms, including rooms I've really, really liked.
Right, that can be done well.
It is easy to over-rely on them. It's like, okay, here's like 10 drawers that each have a different lock on them. Have fun. It's like, okay, we have 6 locks with a 3-digit combination. Hey, I found a 3-digit combination. Okay, let's try it on all these locks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the lowest level thing you can do. I think the best regarded escape rooms really have get a bit more creative than that.
Right. So those are like essentially rifling through stuff and then simple locks that are just sort of clock eaters.
Yeah. Solve this puzzle, get this combination, unlock this lock, get next puzzle,
repeat. So some of the good puzzles though are, okay, actually going to back up again.
Okay.
How many are in, How many are in offhand if you – and there's – and I'm sure they're opening and closing as we speak.
Absolutely.
Probably in San Francisco.
During this conversation, yeah.
Yeah. How many are there in San Francisco?
In San Francisco proper –
how about San Francisco land?
San Francisco. Whole, so yeah, but if you extend it down to, like, you know,
Oakland,
San Jose.
Yeah.
Yeah. San Jose, there's a whole bunch. San Francisco, there's a whole bunch. There's a bunch dotting the landscape in between. I think
there
there's
might
a couple
be 30?
In San Mateo. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
If you take it all.
So there's more than 10.
Yeah. It depends on whether you mean companies or, cause companies will have more than one room.
Right. Oh, right. Once they start making them, they're like, oh.
Scrap has had at least four, I think.
Okay.
But they've, The one I talked about, the mysterious room, I think they're still running that in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
They've retired it in San Francisco and they put in a new room.
Right, because people figure them out and then, and oh, there must be giant problems with spoilers though. Are there problems with spoilers with people?
Because
there are jackasses.
I mean, if you're looking to cheat at an escape room, like, it's like, okay, you're paying, like, I don't think they really care.
Why don't you light $30 on fire?
Yeah, light $30 on fire, win the game in 10 minutes, get a record, but, you know, thank you for your $3 a minute worth of entertainment, you know?
Yes, that is dumb. That doesn't make any sense when you...
Exactly.
There might be one person who does that one time, and then they're like, oh, I see what I did wrong.
Yeah, people are... You're there to solve puzzles and have fun and challenge yourself and actually feel a sense of real accomplishment if you win.
Right, because what if you were really trapped? That my greatest fear going into this thing, I was like, oh, am I going to have a feel of being trapped? Am I going to not want to... Like, am I going to be scared that I'm not going to get out? And I was at no time... At no time did I feel unsafe, they weren't going to let me out. They were like, no, you have to get out of here in an hour because we have other people that we'd like to sell this to.
Exactly.
And we have to reset it.
And we have to give we have to budget a half an hour to explain to you all the stuff you didn't solve.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, but that was and I've talked to other people who have that genuine fear. They're like, I don't want to be locked in a thing. And you're like, well, you aren't really. And there's always an escape button, right?
Yeah. Most places, I mean, I've been to places where they don't even lock you in. Like, you can leave at any time.
Oh, okay.
But, like,
they just close the door.
They close the door, or I've gone to a place where it's just a curtain and you go in. And a lot of places, the door you go in is not the door you come out.
Right.
So, like, somewhere deep in the maze, there's, like, the winning door. Like, this is where this is where you go and escape. But if you want to go back out the way you came for, you know, because you're claustrophobic or you have to go to the bathroom or something.
Right.
You can do that. And yeah, pretty much all places will have either... They'll have the key right by the door. Is like, you will escape out this door, and the key to the door is right here, but this is an emergency key. It's not part of the game. If you use it, you will not be the winner.
You forfeit the game. Yeah,
in some cases, yeah. Sometimes they'll let you back in. Other times they'll be like,
okay,
if you hit this button, like, the game stops, and, like, that's it. So really try not to do it.
Yeah, try not to do it. But it is kind of cool if you're just like, oh, I have a child with me who needs to use the restroom, and unless you want to clean that up. You should probably let everyone keep playing.
It's a red herring clue for future teams.
It's
desiccated baby crap. Let's
see. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants any part of that. So, okay. Now, the good games, they might have kind of these lame clock eater kind of things where you're going through stuff or you're coming up with...
There's going to be some searching in most cases just because of the verisimilitude of the whole thing.
Right. Is it... What draws you to it... initially, is it the story or is it the puzzles?
Definitely the puzzles.
Okay. If there's a company that you like, that does really good. Is there a company in one of your favorite companies?
My favorite ones that I've done. Scraps are very good, but there's this other one called Palace Games, which is at the Palace of Fine Arts.
Okay.
Up in SF.
Oh, yeah.
They have two games called the Houdini Room and the Roosevelt Room. And they are just exceptional. They're longer games. I think Houdini is 80 minutes, 80-minute time limit, and Roosevelt is 90.
Oh, okay.
And they're typically an hour, so they're a little more expensive, but you get the bang for your buck. And the effects of everything are off the charts.
Like, theatricals better?
The theatricals are amazing. Like, you'll do a thing, and you'll just hear a chime, and then, like, this thing in the corner will, like, turn automatically. It's all mechanical. It's all, you know, automatic with, like, Arduinos and all that kind of stuff that I don't understand.
Right. What's an Arduino?
I barely know. It's like a little thing that does stuff for you.
Fair enough. But there's definitely, because I think the levels that, you know, because it can be lame, but that sounds like someone who does set dressing and lighting design.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, especially, like, theatrical towns. Like, San Francisco has a huge theater kind of district. And if somebody was into puzzles, but was also, like, I don't know, in theater, they could make it look the greatest thing ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are there times when there's costumes that you see like ghosts? I mean, do you ever see like animated? Is there animated automatrons?
Automatons? Not that so much. Sometimes there will be something. There'll be like a staff member in the room with you.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the time they will be dressed the part and have a character, but they're also in there's like. Hey, you don't actually have to break that, so please don't.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Fair enough. Because yeah. I think that it's like Star Trek, so things are glued to things.
Yeah.
And you're like, is it under here? No. That is a knob that doesn't really turn. It's not real.
Most rooms will have like a little like no sticker, some kind of indication like, no, seriously, we're not fooling you. This is like a plug. Don't unplug it. You're not going to find anything, I promise.
Yes.
I mean, I was in one room once, like, it was, it's a very good company up in Seattle called Puzzle Break that I really like.
Okay.
They had a kind of a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea type game.
Nice.
And, I was playing this with, strangers, which is a mixed bag, sometimes. Okay. And they said, oh, you know, there's like portholes glued to the wall, so, you know, it looks like a submarine type thing. There's nothing behind there. Don't rip him off the wall. And, of course, we get in there. Within 5 minutes, some guy's just trying to rip him down off the wall. Like, no, seriously.
No.
Don't do that.
Right. There's nothing there.
We promise.
They're not tricking you.
Yeah.
They actually don't want to have to go out and buy more glue.
Exactly.
So that's...
more portholes.
Yeah. So talk to me about... So do you have, like, sort of a dedicated cadre of buddies who are like, we three like to go?
Oh, yeah.
Four, yeah.
We have a private group on Facebook.
Okay.
I'll put up like polls, like which one should we do next? I'll use that site Doodle for like which time works best
national,
for everyone.
Or is it mostly just,
it's Bay Area. We're not going to.
Right. And, but if there's 40 people in that group, you should be able to find at least three or four people who are like, well, let's organize it. Let's go on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Definitely. The group's probably around 20 people, which is, you know, way more than the capacity for most escape rooms, but.
Right.
You know, there's always, obviously, no time is going to be good for everybody, so we can usually fill it out, and then the other people can find some time when they'd like to do it.
Yeah, they just rotate it. Yeah. And if everybody wanted to go, there'd be five groups or four groups,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
And, yeah, that's, and does, like, the Palace games, there's two different games going on at all times, right?
Yeah.
Might be more?
I think they're working on a third.
Okay.
Last year, which I'm really excited about.
Like, if you drive to a puzzle place, one of these escape rooms. Is there usually just one place to go to, or is there you could pick between a couple of different rooms?
Oh, there's like within one establishment.
Yeah,
yeah. Usually, though, there are a couple of companies that have like kind of multiple locations. A lot of places will have just various chambers, at least two chambers, like in just the same building.
Okay, sort of an easier one or a harder one, maybe.
Yeah. A lot of the time, there will be of variable difficulties. Like, oh, this is kind of our beginner game, and then you can do this one. And then you can do this super hard game that has like a 4% win rate or something.
Oh, wow.
And oftentimes we'll try to, because, you know, I live in San Francisco. I have friends I play with who live in San Bruno, you know, a little bit south, close to the airport. And we're like, okay, we're going to go into like San Jose and play these games here. We just want to do one trip here. They have three games. Let's go, you know, book the ones for 1, 2:30, and 4.
Yes.
And we'll just knock them all out in one day.
And then go get dinner.
And then go get dinner. Exactly.
Yeah. Like. Adults.
Like adults.
Like adults who get to play a game.
And then talk about the games and how pumped we are that we won, or all the unfair puzzles that were stupid and that's why we lost.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? And because San Jose from San Francisco can be like 2 hours, right?
Yeah, I'll typically, my friends are, I don't have a car, my friends do, so I'll go down to San Bruno or something and hitch a ride with them. Works out pretty well for me. I tend to be the ringleader and kind of the organizer of things. So
right, because you're like, well, we need to do this.
I front the money, so it's like,
You're like, I will make the reservation,
yeah.
You will hand me $30.
It's the only time I have organizational skills in my life is when I am arranging escape room stuff.
All right.
And my sternest test, my record, when I went down to L.A., I set aside a day for an escape room, escape rooms. My record... we did 10 rooms in one day.
What?
I don't recommend it.
Yeah, that's 10 hours of puzzle.
Yeah, to say, and you have to go from place to
driving
place.
Because if you do all three at this one place, and then you got to drive, find parking.
Yep.
Yeah.
And eat maybe at some point
right,
if you're
hopefully.
Interested in being a functional human. Yeah.
Right, if you want to keep your blood sugar up. It's now, are there a lot in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. Like, I did 10 in one day, and I've done several others besides that one day.
So
and
there's at least 20.
I don't think I've even done half of them yet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
okay.
they're new ones. I'm sure they're since the last time I was there, there are new ones constantly.
Okay. And so that's neat. Now, what about what's a good I would be like, well, what's the story? Let's go figure out the story. And then, you know, remember that game Myst?
Oh, I loved Myst.
I spent the entire time in the library.
Most of the books are burned, aren't they?
There was a lot of books that were burned, and I would be like, what else is going on? It's insane. I never finished the game.
Well, I was going to say, you may have accidentally found the book with all the patterns that you're supposed to find at the very end. Like, what's this? Spoilers, by the way, for a 25-year-old game.
Exactly. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So you loved Myst because Myst is exactly that. You take
it
notes.
It really is. Yeah.
And you keep going. And you take notes, and you keep going.
Yeah, it's kind of a really kind of big virtual escape room, if you think about it.
Yeah, it really is.
You solve this puzzle
alone.
To get into this world, then you find the pages, you can get out of the world, and it's just kind of
you're trapped.
All these chambers.
You're,
exactly.
I remember being trapped in that room for months.
Oh, yeah.
On that island, rather.
Right.
But I was like, it just drove me nuts to the end of it. And then one of my nephews who's... I have a lot of nephews. I've mentioned at least three of them. They are different men. And so
mention them all or they'll feel left out.
Exactly. And so what about the latest one? He's five. Okay. So but he did eventually win it. Did you eventually win it?
I think this was years and years,
years ago. Yeah.
Well, I was a little bit, I tend to be behind the curve on video games. You're like, sure. I'm not going to get the Nintendo Switch. I'm going to wait for 5 years when it's like $100 and I'll just get it then. So I played a little bit later on that. I think there was one thing I had trouble with,
okay.
and I looked up, and I really try not to do that nowadays because like I find it's kind of once I give into that like looking up a hint, I'm like, oh well, I already looked up a hint, so I might as well look up another hint before I know what I've ruined
now
the whole game
doing
for myself.
A walkthrough, so
yeah.
It's
so I really try not to do that these days.
Fair enough. So, what are your favorite when you first walk into an escape room?
Yeah,
what makes you think, oh, this is going to be a good one?
Well, you can get a sense like the atmosphere right away.
If they've done a nice setup,
I mean, it's not a bulletproof kind of thing. You can very easily have a great set and crappy puzzles.
Yep.
So the set and also kind of the website too. If a website's really janky web 1.0 type stuff, and I'm like, it's kind of buggy and looks weird, I'm like, this probably isn't going to be a very good room.
Yeah. Because they can't even figure out the website.
They can't figure out the website. How are you going to figure out like actually decent puzzles?
Right.
So if I walk in and the room like looks really cool and they've clearly put a lot of attention to detail. I'm like, okay, well, they probably have a lot of attention in their puzzles as well.
Yeah.
And if I see things that are clearly going to be important but just don't have a lock on them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's some kind of hole there. We're going to need to find something that fits in there and that's going to open some other thing.
Or right.
There'll be like a sensor. Like, oh, a chessboard. Like I've seen several rooms where there's a chessboard with like RFID chips in it or something.
Oh, okay.
And if you find the right position for the chess pieces, then a door like across the room will magically open. And that's always a really cool moment. Yeah.
That is a really cool moment.
Yeah, that's always fun when you do something and then something automatically happens somewhere else.
Right. And okay.
I'll go through there. That just opened. Oh, it's really fun.
Yeah, okay. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so what about if you go in, how many puzzles in an hour can you do? Like, I know that it has to fluctuate because of how hard the puzzles are, but is it, like, if there's only three things to do, but two of them are really, really hard, is that something that happens?
A lot of times, it kind of depends on the structure. Like, some rooms are very, very linear. Like, hey, you have to solve this puzzle. Okay, you have this combination. Unlock this drawer. Okay, there's your second puzzle. You have to kind of go through one by one.
Yeah.
Most rooms, I would say, though, are parallelizable. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do at first, so the team fans out, and everyone's working on something different. So you don't. That's why they, even if you win the room, they typically do a walkthrough, because pretty much everyone on the team has not seen every puzzle. Like, oh, yeah, we got this. How did we get that? And it's like, oh, yeah, I worked on that, and it was this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always, it's always good to have a walkthrough, whether you win or lose.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And so let's go back to strangers. When you play with strangers, miss, I bet.
Yeah.
Because someone has to be all I know is that when you play a game where someone has to be a leader, and if you're strangers, there might be somebody who's not willing to give up that role as leader, but aren't any good at it.
Yeah, it's more like I mean, we went over my competitive nature. I try really hard not to let that wander into like alpha dickhead territory.
Yeah.
It gets pretty difficult. It was like, no, I promise you what you're doing is wrong. Please stop. Or like, I am stacking these blocks here. You are pulling the blocks back off. I do not appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be really, I mean, talk about a weird social situation where you have to. I wonder, do they ever use these in corporate things for team building?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the week after this cruise, I'm doing one with my team.
Okay. Just because it is, I mean, it's an amazing way to learn to delegate and to learn to cooperate and to learn to let go.
Yeah, and it's just bullshit. Fun.
Yes, that's, of course, it's fun, but that's okay.
Yeah, fortunately, my teammates at work are well aware of my puzzle bona fides and my personality. We'll call them foibles.
Right,
yeah.
But at least they know them going in. This is like, not like a weird family that doesn't know you.
Right.
They're like, what's with that guy? Why would Tyler? just met Tyler.
I'm sure there's been at least, you know, maybe not even strangers. Maybe my friends leave the room like, yeah, Tyler was kind of a dick there. I don't know what his problem was. Well, we won, didn't we?
Learned,
yeah, okay.
Have you learned how to sort of, have you taken anything from these rooms and used it in real life that you got out of it?
I am getting wiser with age.
Okay.
Not quite as, you know, hot headed at these things.
Okay. Right. Trying to figure out how to.
Yeah. Well, you know, every day is a struggle, you know, it's grow a little bit every day.
Fair enough.
As for applying it to real life. Yeah. It's kind of keeping a cool head in a crisis, even if it's a manufactured, fake ultimately insignificant one like this.
Right, because you have a vested interest in beating the puzzles.
Absolutely.
And so
I definitely do.
You have to sort of, I guess it's a new way to learn every time to let go a little bit and God, you're right. No, you should get to try to figure. So do you say, no, you get to try to figure out that puzzle by yourself?
Yeah, I've gotten good with that. I think I've gotten a lot better at, okay, you seem to know what you're doing, so I'm going to bugger off over here.
Right.
I don't have to be involved in everything.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's so important because I know that I was looking for direction. The one that I did, I was like, I'm going to need someone to tell me what puzzle to work on because I don't even recognize a puzzle.
Yeah. That's a really important kind of communication skill. If someone says like, okay, you know, who needs help? And like, someone will be like, yeah, we can't really figure this out. And you'll get, you know, more brain power over there. And even just a fresh look can really help.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how the hell did we miss that? Well, this person came in and hadn't seen it yet. And they saw it immediately.
Essentially, we went with, this family of friends, right? Of really good friends of Andy's. And, it was, a couple and their son, of course. Right. And so Phil, he's an IT guy, and they're gamers from way back, right? He, for years, he was an IT guy, and now he's a therapist. And his wife teaches AP physics.
Oh, wow.
And their son, plays video games like, every other 12-year-old in the world, mm-hmm. and has since birth. So has that sort of, you know, so they were a great team. And then Andy, my husband, is a game designer. So they, and I make a really good chicken. So
I've not seen an escape room that involves making a chicken.
Yeah,
but someday, designers.
So, yeah, exactly. How could there some laundry folding and maybe some chicken making? And if you need anybody to read all the books in the room.
That actually, a lot of rooms will have books in them.
Oh, will they?
And one of the first things you do is just flip through all the books because you never know. Like sometimes there's like a book cipher. Like, you'll find a slip of paper that says like 52, 5, 3. That means page 52, line 5.
Third letter,
and you'll get stuff from that. Or sometimes, like the inside of the book will be cut out completely, and there'll be something in there. Sometimes it's like, I think they have safes,
like a gun,
like a Bible
with a gun-shaped hole in it.
If things really go south in the room, and you have to shoot your way out,
that would be awesome.
That would be,
yeah,
kind of a social experiment, even more than a conventional room.
I don't mind that. And now here's my next question: is there replayability?
In almost all cases, no.
Okay.
That's why, you know, a company will kind of let a room run its course.
Right.
And they'll be like, hey, we're shutting this down. And then they'll like kind of close off that section and build a new room. And all the other people can come back.
People that have played it.
Yeah.
And they're done playing it.
Yeah. I mean, you could go in again.
Yep.
You won't have fun because you'll know everything and you will win in 5 minutes. And you'll have, again, set $30 on fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. It's that is interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder I wonder if there will be a day when they sort of reinvent that wheel and go, let's change the game. Let's keep the game, but change it slightly and add stuff.
Well, yeah, two things about, there's one company in Sylmar.
Okay.
Called The Basement, which has three really, really good rooms.
Okay.
My favorite of theirs is the original, which is The Basement. You're basically in a serial killer's basement.
Okay.
That one's a shorter game, as I recall. That was 45 minutes. And
wow.
It's one of my favorite games, in small part because we got out with 15 seconds left. So
nice.
It was really, really exciting. And that was a case where strangers paid off. It was like me and like seven of my puzzle friends and then two people we didn't know.
Yep.
So it was like, okay, yeah, we're good. We got a strong team. And then like two people we did, one of the people we didn't know.
Yeah.
With like 3 minutes, I was like, oh, hey, I found this key. And we unlocked this thing. We had everything else in place. And we kind of raced to the finish. So
there's
totally
so
saved
much
our bacon.
Satisfaction,
yeah,
in that. And it, I mean, in every game that I've ever played, board games or whatever, there, it's nice when everybody gets to do something.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't want everyone to feel like, oh, well, I didn't see anything.
I didn't
good job, guys, I guess.
Bummer!
But
yeah.
The basement, as I recall, they actually had a thing where if you don't win,
yep,
you could buy another session, and they like they kind of keep track of how far you are.
Okay.
And they will reset the room
just
to where
to
you were at the end of the time, and you will get another 45 minutes to try to finish.
Okay.
I have not seen that repeated anywhere else. Strikes me as more trouble than it's worth, but you
right.
know,
but they have three rooms.
There are completists.
Yes.
For me, it's a binary thing. Like, hey, you know, we had 45 minutes to win and it was felt eminently possible and we didn't do it and we lost.
Well,
so I don't think I would take advantage of something like that.
Okay.
There is actually, the Palace games that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Last I knew they hadn't, kind of taken advantage of this mode,
mm-hmm.
Or if they have, I haven't played it yet. But when we got a little tour of the, kind of the innards of the game after we were done.
Yep.
And he actually had a board. It was like game A and game B. And he's like, oh, you know, we have this, you know, we have a design in mind where we can use the same room and the same props and everything.
That's...
And a lot of the surprises, like, will be not surprises because the same things open and whir and all that stuff.
Oh, right.
But there'll be different puzzles.
Different puzzles to make those things open and work.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, so you can kind of go that route, too.
Because there has to be... Because otherwise, I mean, granted, the people who own them just want to make puzzles and want to make escape rooms, right?
The good ones do.
Other people just want you to fold their laundry. So,
they just want to make money. It's like, we'll just throw out a bunch of locks in this room and give your money, suckers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, it would make more sense, like the money making people.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if they don't figure out a way to just reuse those sets. Cause it seems like to some extent a waste, you know,
mm-hmm.
of costumes and set design and lighting and whirring and bells and whistles and blah, blah. So
yeah.
Any animals? You ever have one where there was a bird? I want there to be a bird now for some reason.
You know,
nope.
Again, get on that, game designers.
Exactly. What could happen?
There's at least a couple with zombies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So there are people that are hired to sit there and be zombies?
The ones I haven't played one of these yet.
Mm-hmm.
My friends have played it, and for them was kind of eh.
Okay.
But as the time goes, the chain on the zombie gets longer. And you have to avoid it touching you.
Oh.
And that's kind of, I guess if you're touched, you have to sit in a corner and like you could still like talk to your teammates and stuff. You can't like physically participate.
Right. But you're quarantined somehow.
Yeah. I never really liked that. It's like, oh, I, you know, paid to get into this game and whoops, I screwed up and the zombie touched me. Now I just get to stand here.
Right.
So I don't know that I dig that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little too much when people jump out at haunted houses that I don't enjoy either.
Very few games have kind of the jump scary type stuff. There'll be like The Basement that I mentioned in Sylmar. That's really got a delightfully creepy horror vibe about it, but there's not really any jump scares as such.
Okay. Yeah. Let's look at genres, shall
we?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's the horror genre.
Yeah.
Have you seen, cause that sounds like that The Basement one in Sylmar is, that sounds the, I will not be going to that.
That one's
legit.
I'm
sure it's very well done. And
there was a smell in there that was in my nostrils for 2 days. I just don't want to say anything more about it.
I also will not be seeing Get Out, which looks like an amazing movie, very well done, that I want no part of.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I want to send you $14 so you make more of them, but I don't want any part of it because it looks too scary, though also funny and smart, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I might brave it, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's not my poison. So have you played other horror ones?
Uh,
like Like, are there, you would think there'd be like an Arkham Asylum kind of thing or a straitjackety kind of thing.
Yeah, there are definitely things like that. That's the kind zombies. Of the apex in terms of sheer just atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are plenty that are ominous. Like, oh, you're in this prison and like the poisonous gas will be released in an hour. So like,
okay.
They'll threaten you with death, but the room itself is not really creepy in itself.
Right, right. Okay. So how about science fiction?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well,
definitely.
A lot of those, I bet.
Oh, for sure.
Just sort of like, where you're trapped on a planet.
Yep. Spaceship. Moon base, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Submarine, you had one?
Yep.
Were you running out of air on the submarine? I want you to run out of air on the submarine.
I think there was some kind of equipment malfunction.
You put somebody underwater. That's what happens.
That's, you know,
it's a hunt for Red October. It's
never go underwater. That's the bottom line.
That's it. And how about ships? Any ships?
This is probably the third or fourth game I played in San Francisco. It was another one of these ballroom style games. It was called Escape from the Haunted Ship, and it took place on this actual, historic ship.
Oh, cool.
Parked in San Francisco. I forget the name of the ship.
They just rented
this historical exhibit.
Yeah.
And they basically rented it out and ran this haunted ship game in it. So that was really cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And I heard Scrap is trying to make something happen with Alcatraz, which would be amazing. But there's a whole lot of hoops to jump through there.
Well, it's a national park.
Exactly. So that'd be tough to do. But they're trying to make it happen.
How about air? Any Zeppelins?
Ooh,
I would
escape from the Zeppelin. I have not seen a Zeppelin.
Because a Zeppelin should blow up.
Yes.
Right? Because oxygen and
absolute combustion. Yeah. And you get like a big orange kind of light haloing the room if you lose. You know, we should just open our own escape rooms is what I'm hearing here.
You know, have you ever thought about what, now you love puzzles.
I do.
Do you make puzzles? Will you hand me my pen?
Absolutely.
Over on the other side. Oh, sorry. It's underneath your right leg.
There we go. We got it. Okay.
So,
I have thought about it. I referenced this earlier. The market is, there's just so many players in the market. If I looked into the future, 3-4 years ago and be like, whoa, holy crap, this is blowing up. Then, maybe I'd have a shot at it. But
how about just other puzzles? Like, have you ever just like crosswords?
Oh yeah. I'm largely kind of retired from that, but I've had a couple dozen crosswords in the New York Times.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's huge.
But crosswords and escape room puzzles are not really.
At all.
Yeah.
But everyone, that puzzle guy, Tyler Hinman, who I just called Tinman Tyler.
You're not the Tyler. First, nor shall you be the last.
Exactly.
Because there's a British tennis player named Tim Hinman, and I got that all the time.
It's Tyler Hinman, and it's at that puzzle guy.
Yep.
So, but just in general, I was just thinking about puzzles and stuff. Yeah. So, but that's neat that you got to write crosswords, and they published them in the frickin' New York Times.
Yeah, it's all freelance. Anyone who wants to send in a puzzle can, and
they're like,
the Great Will
maybe.
Schwartz, looks them over and picks the ones he likes.
Oh, there you go. All right. Note to self, Rangers, if you need to try it, it's an attainable goal if you work hard and come up with something cool. All right. So how about have you ever done an escape from the woods? I'm just going to come up with scenarios.
I think.
An outdoor one.
Yeah, I think the first ballroom type game I played, that was Escape from the Werewolf Village.
Oh, there you go.
Which of these people is actually the werewolf?
Oh, so it was sort of a mix of werewolf and the escape. So that game werewolf. Anyway, so now we're talking supernatural. Yeah. Vampires? Werewolves?
Werewolf
ghosts? We got haunted. Things have been haunted.
There's always a ghost.
Are there
of a
tarot
pirate.
Cards and Ouija boards?
Oh,
and?
I've definitely seen plenty of rooms with tarot cards.
Okay.
Those lend themselves to puzzles so well. You could reference the name, the art, and their number.
Okay.
So you can this card, it references this card, and that's got a 12 on it, so that's the letter L. And,
okay.
Yeah, so that kind of thing.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's,
so there's, you go through, the puzzles that you're doing are, you're finding things, you're doing, there's RFID chips possibly in the chests.
There could be anything. I've seen lasers, RFIDs, obviously the locks.
Anything on the ceiling? Have you ever
most,
had any...
most games do not require you to really kind of
get all monkey-like and climb around.
Although one game we lost because there was an Allen wrench sitting on top of the door frame that we somehow never saw, and we were just so angry because that cost the game. Like, we had everything else in place.
Right.
We couldn't get this one thing unlocked, and if we did that, then we would have gotten all this, and we would have won. Like, no question.
Right.
So that was the reason we lost.
And so the bitterness.
We were so angry about that. Like, I can't believe, like, how did none of us see that? None of us thought to look up there.
Right.
Like, you're 6'4". How did you not see it? Like,
right. That sort of. Oh, fantastic. So it's the blame game afterwards. It's good natured.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah. We all felt equally dumb and not having.
Right, food. Right.
And then my friend Chris, one of my friends in San Bruno that I play with,
mm-hmm.
In his house, he put an Allen wrench on like a doorway and nobody noticed it for like 6 months. So
he felt vindicated. He was like,
I guess.
Sure.
He was proving your point.
Right. So now when you go into a room though, do you check the at the top of the
your hands all
immediately.
I have dust.
Look, I just dusted that. That's
oh,
gross.
And there's a nail sticking out. Fantastic.
Ow, I just cut myself. Yeah. And boo. Yeah, all right.
Sign the waiver.
Yep. Oh, right, the waiver. There's always a waiver. Anything interesting in the waiver?
I never read the waiver.
Right, I agree. Click.
iTunes generation. You know?
Yes, exactly. Completely and entirely.
And
so
find a blood firstborn kid. Yada.
Yeah. You have my Corolla. You know, the proud owner of my Corolla. So, well, I have you down for playing games in Seattle, San Francisco, Boston, Connecticut, and upcoming Milwaukee, and Chicago.
Yep.
Wait, Los Angeles.
LA, definitely.
Have you done Chicago?
Just one.
All right.
Maybe some more when I visit April.
There's Nashville. There's Atlanta. There's Florida. Have you been... I'm looking to jog some memories.
Phoenix, I've done a few.
Yep.
Vancouver.
Right.
Several. One in Paris, actually.
Paris, France.
And it was actually...
In French.
They actually did both.
Okay.
And actually, most of the puzzles, like, they could have been in French, and it really wouldn't have made a difference. Numbers and symbols and whatever.
Okay.
So, we would have been able to figure it out, at least. London, I've done several in London.
Okay. So they're international. They're everywhere.
Good question. In fact, I think...
Where did they start? Did they start in Japan?
I'm not actually sure of that.
Okay.
I know in Europe, like, the capital, like, escape room capital is Budapest. There are hundreds and hundreds in Budapest.
Really?
Yeah, you could spend a week there just constantly playing escape rooms and not hit them all, is what I've heard.
Right. Yeah, that kind of, that feels like a destination. It feels like there ought to be tours.
Maybe there are.
Yeah.
Look into it.
Yeah. Because you're like, okay, we're all going. And yeah, you could like sail down the, well, I'm sure I know there's a river. I can't think of it.
Sure.
And sure. There's waterways. It's Europe. So.
They're like, all right, going to Budapest. You some restaurant recommendations? Like, no, we're good.
No.
Exactly. And
chips and, exactly. Yeah, and Mountain Dew. It'll be a caricature of itself. And so. Okay, now, I'm almost out of questions, which is amazing, because we've done 52 minutes about fucking escape game.
52 minutes already?
I know. Oh. It's pretty great. It's pretty great. Now, let's go, unless you got other escape room?
Las Vegas. I've done a bunch in Las Vegas.
Okay. were there any gambling? Was there a way to gamble once you were in the room?
No, not.
I say if you're going to have a weird town like Las Vegas, there ought to be a slot machine.
Okay.
There ought to be, I mean, it'd be nice if it were themed, you know, like if you came to, well, I was going to say Van Nuys, which is the town that I'm from in Los Angeles. There's nothing in Van Nuys. It's a check cashing place. Maybe that might be actually. Exactly. Try to get your 7% back. Anyway. No one has ever won that one. Yeah. I like the idea of them being, I mean, there's part of me that just kind of wants to, you know, turn like a giant mall into like 40 of them, right? Where you could just, right. I mean, there'd just be like food carts out in the middle and then you go from one to the next coffee and food. And you just go to one to the next and be like a Gap and then an Old Navy escape from Victoria's Secret. No. Anyway, that's of course a lingerie joke. I'll be over here. Okay. So, are there ever tools? There's a question. Like, besides the Allen wrench.
Yeah, the Allen wrench is the bane of my freaking existence. Actually, when my friends and I require a team name, when they ask for a team name, for the leaderboard or what have you, we call ourselves Allen and the Wrenches.
Oh, to this very day.
To this very day.
And yeah. When did the Allen Wrench incident happen?
Well, there are actually two Allen Wrench incidents. The first room, actual room escape room I ever played. We lost that because of an Allen Wrench we couldn't find.
Yeah.
But that one was really hard. Like, it was kind of like, you're going to hide one and you're going to like tape it down so it doesn't make any noise.
Yeah.
But then, and then we're like, okay, we're going to win this time.
Yep.
It was a really great room, and we should have won, except, oh no, there's an Allen wrench sitting there on the door frame.
Yep.
Plain as day.
Yep.
You idiots.
So, there's no hammer, wrench, other kind of wrenches?
Screwdriver. Well, I guess an Allen wrench is kind of a screwdriver. But, you know,
well, or tape measures.
Maybe something like that. Like,
yeah.
Maybe there's some clue, like a different combination is how long is this thing or whatnot.
How about audio video?
Oh, absolutely.
Have people, are some of the instructions given to you, or is it sort of missed, like where there's, don't forget to check in there, kind of thing?
We'll show you some of that at the beginning sometimes.
Okay.
Like introductory video that sets the stage.
Oh, story.
Maybe like your first little clue or something.
Mm-hmm.
I played rooms where like you find a DVD at some point.
DVD. Okay.
That way. So that's kind of fun.
Somebody has a YouTube page. Let's do this. Somebody knows how to work Premiere. Yeah, we live in an age where it could be so interactive.
Yeah.
And I wonder the other place that this, do you like the hands-on part of it? Because there's is that part of it that it's a 3D walk into a room?
Absolutely.
And
like the feeling of actually escaping, like there's turning the combination and pulling on it and hoping like, yes, this is open. Like, if you're just like clicking buttons in a game, then oh, okay, cool. This little graphic.
Even virtual reality isn't the same.
Move this way to indicate that the lock is open, right for me.
Yes.
Those are fun. Like those kind of good puzzles. I like those games. But there's nothing like being in the room.
Yeah, it's a whole different level. It's a different kind of. It's the difference between a video game and a board game to some extent. And
I think the next wave is going to be. And I think there's a few like this already. Virtual reality.
Yeah, where you walk in and you're immersed.
You're immersed.
Yeah. Andy's working on this virtual reality game right now, and he said that the tech is ridiculous because he's working with this new software that's going to be proprietary for this game, and he's like it's so immersive that it's that uncanny valley kind of he's like I've had to pull him back from it because it's creeping me out so it's like make it look a little less real if you could. Did you ever read Ready Player One?
I did.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it's like, sad it's over. Like, oh, I'm bummed this book is over.
Right. It's Ernie Klein's been on the Dork Forest. The guy wrote it. Yeah, and it was, but it's such a great read because it's an easy. And it makes the best use of VR ever. So
absolutely, yeah. It's like this needs to be real, except for the dystopian real world.
Exactly,
we're this part without that.
Yeah, we're dystopian present. It's already happening.
Oh,
so here we are near the end of the show. So Tyler Hinman at That Puzzle Guy on Twitter. People, ping him with your questions about puzzles and escape rooms and stuff. I love that we have real suggestions for ones to go to. I like the San Francisco one at the Palace Games.
That's a number one for me.
Houdini and the Roosevelt one.
Yes.
The Silmar. I believe Silmar is in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's right by my house. I'm
there
almost certain.
No,
this is an Andy Ashcraft destination moment. And and then Puzzle Break in Seattle.
Yeah, that's another one that I really like that I haven't plugged yet. And, you know, full disclosure, you know, my friends are...
You're dipped,
Locurio in Seattle is another really good one.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. And by no means an exhaustive list. I'm sure there's lots that I really enjoy.
Yeah, but they're good starter ones.
Absolutely.
For people who are, because they're quality that you've enjoyed, and so they can at least go to those and go, well, now I know what a good one should kind of look like, and if they're better than this, hooray. If they're less than this, they still might be okay, and because you're going anyway, right?
You're going anyway. That's
yeah.
My money. I know that.
Exactly. So, thank you so much, Tyler.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Yeah, this was great. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay!
my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?